The beauty of what we did last weekend and the way that we deepened our relationships with the Lord and the way that we deepened our relationships with each other and the way that we had a ton of fun doing it, the beauty of that is that that isn't just a weekend experience, right? We get to do that every single week. Guys, we try to do that here at Wake and at small groups every week. You have two great opportunities to do all three of those things, to have a ton of fun, to deepen your walk with Jesus, and to deepen your relationships with one another. And so I'd encourage you, continue to dive deep, continue to go all in. There's no better way to do that. And so this morning, we are actually talking about and starting a series that we're going to be in for 3 weeks, talking about how to open your Bible and not just point to a random verse, okay? The reality is the way that we got to experience and walk with Jesus last weekend, we can do every single day. Not just every week, but every single day as we know God through His Word and make Him known. And so the goal of the next 3 weeks is to hopefully teach you how you can open your Bible, not just have to throw it against the wall or just kind of, okay, let's see Ezekiel 13. Let's see what God has for me today. Right? We don't want you to have to be in that spot because that can be incredibly confusing, right? And you're probably not going to really understand and know and therefore apply God's word if you don't know how to do that. And so we're going to spend the 3 weeks hopefully teaching you how you can open your Bible, how you can read it, how you can understand it, and how you can apply it to your life so you can walk with Jesus. And so let me pray for us and then we will dive in. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thanks for each and every student and leader and volunteer here in this room. Lord, thank you that you long and desire to know us, to reveal yourself to us, and you have revealed yourself to us through your word. And so God, I pray that today as we talk about how to truly understand your word, how to read it, understand it, and apply it to our life, God, I pray that you'd help us to do that. I pray you'd open our eyes so that we may see and understand the truths of your scriptures and how we can know them. So Father, we love you. We pray that you'd use this time and teach us and do what only you can do. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me start this morning asking, how many of you have ever dealt with a packaging like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jack, you are 100% correct. This type of packaging, I absolutely hate. Why? Because it's so hard to get open, right? Does anybody think that they can open this with just their hands? Like, you can't have any other tools, just your hands. You think you can? All right, come here. I want you to come up here and I want you to try to open this packaging with only your hands. You don't get anything else. Okay. And I'm going to give you 15 seconds to do so. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Done. All right. Hold on. Pause right there. He can only use his hands. Now, what if I gave you a pair of these? You think you could do it? All right. I'll give you 15 more seconds. All right. Go. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. In 5 seconds, he just opened that package. Boom. And he just threw me the trash. All right. You can keep that. Thanks for playing. What was your name?
Colin,
well done, Colin. Hey, here's what we got to realize with what Colin just did, okay? If Colin does not have the right tool to open that package, guess what happens? It is incredibly difficult. I'm sure his hands would start to rip and get uncomfortable or hurt. And it just gets frustrating, if we're honest, right? I hate those packages. But what happens if he has the right tool? He opened that thing in 5 seconds, right? The reason I start there is because sometimes I think that if we are given a Bible, we feel like it's much like that packaging, right? We feel like that it's incredibly difficult to open it up and actually understand and take in the value that is inside of it. We think that it's really difficult to know and understand and apply this to our life. And I would just tell you, if you have ever felt that maybe you feel that right now, let me tell you something. You are not alone. Okay? I've been reading this for a lot of years. And if I'm honest, there's still some times that I'm reading and I'm like, what does that mean? Or what does that practically mean then? And how does that apply to me today? You need to know you're not alone. But here's what I'll tell you. If you don't have the right tools to open this, it gets incredibly frustrating. And sometimes you just feel like giving up. And so what we want to do over the next 3 weeks is teach you and give you the proper tools that you need to open your Bible, to truly understand what it means and how it applies to your life. Okay? And so some of you walk in here this morning and we have all kinds of different levels of experience whenever it comes to reading God's Word. Some of you walk in here, you've never touched a Bible for yourself your whole life. The only time you ever read the Bible or hear it being read is at church on a Sunday or maybe at small group on a Wednesday night. And that's all the exposure you have. Or maybe it's just your parents who've read it to you, but you've never actually read it yourself. Others of you, maybe you've tried to read God's Word before, but you get to Leviticus and you're like, what in the world is he talking about? Like you just get lost and you get frustrated and you get confused. And so you get really worn out and you're just like, dude, forget it. Like I'm not going to understand this. I'm done reading it. Right? Maybe others of you, you're like, hey, I try to read it every single day. But if I'm honest, there's sometimes that I just don't know what it's trying to tell me or how that even works in my life. And so I don't really see a lot of change in my life or really, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do because of God's Word. And so my goal this morning is to help you, give you tools so that you can open up God's Word and truly dive deep in it to know God and to make Him known, right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here this morning would say that you love God? Most of us would, if not all of us would, right? But here's, listen to this verse really quickly. 1 John 5 verse 3 says this. It says, this is the love of God, that we would keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And so what John is doing in here is he's saying that love for God, every one of us who just said we love God, is manifested and shown by the way that we walk with him. Right? If we love God, we walk with him. The way in which we walk with him is by keeping his commandments. But here's the problem, is that a lot of us don't know his commandments. A lot of us open God's Word and we don't know what it's actually saying or how it applies to our life. And so here's the difficulty with that, is that we say that we love God, which means that we would walk with Him, but then we don't walk obediently with Him because we don't know His commandments, and so we don't know what to be obedient to. And so thereby, it's like, do we really love God? Do we really even know God? And I would just tell you, God has revealed Himself to us in His Word, and He wants to reveal His will to us so that we can walk with Him. But if you don't understand it, that is really, really hard to do. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about three really simple things that can help you read your Bible, can help you open up your Bible and not just have to point to a random verse, how you can actually understand and apply God's Word. So we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at observation, we're going to look at interpretation, and we're going to look at application. Okay? So those three really easy things that we can do anytime we're reading God's Word to help us know it, understand it, and apply it to our life. And so the first thing that we have to do whenever we read God's Word is observation. What do I mean by that? Observation is essentially answering the question, what do I see in this chapter or this passage? Right? So you read God's Word and you're slowing down and you're asking yourself, what is going on here? Who is he talking to? And what is happening? You're being really careful to slow down and observe everything that is going on. It's kind of like this video, or maybe this video shows you what happens whenever we don't observe. Okay, take a look. I love that video. I saw that this week. A assistant coach dressed up as this mannequin that is a football player, obviously, that is typically in their locker room all year round, right? Like that mannequin just sits there and obviously it doesn't move because it's plastic normally. But here's, notice what happens. These guys are walking by him. They're looking at their phone. They're not paying attention. They're surely not observing what is going on around them because they're not taking the time to slow down. Like none of them look at him and they're like, his legs are a little bit bigger than I realized, or man, gosh, he just looks off. Like, that looks different. None of them observe what is happening. And so what happens? They get scared just like crazy, right? And they probably are having to recover from some heart attacks right now, from just the fright. But that's what happens whenever you fail to stop and to slow down and observe what's going on around you. And I would just tell you, I think we do a lot of the same thing whenever it comes to reading God's word. Like, we just fly through it and we just read it so quickly that we miss what's actually going on in a passage. Okay. And so in order to observe God's word, here's what I mean by that. You're asking essentially five questions. Okay. Y'all are all familiar with these. You're asking who, what, when, where, and why. All of y'all are familiar with those. You're asking those five really easy questions. Who, what, when, where, and why. So as you read a passage of scripture, you're asking yourself, who is writing this and who are they writing to? Okay. Who is writing this letter or who's writing this part of the Bible and who are they writing to? You're asking what? What are they saying? What is the main point or main passage that they're trying to convey to these people? And then you're asking when, right? Who, what, when? When are they writing? Here's what you need to know. I make a really obvious statement, but did you know that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament in your Bible, right? And did you know that the Old Testament and everything written there was written before the New Testament? Okay, so those might be obvious statements to some. For others of you, you might not have known that. But here's the reality. This book, your Bible, is written in the context of history. Meaning that it's not just some made up story. Like, this is an actual historical account of what happened throughout the course of history. And so what if I told you within the Old Testament, there's 10 different time periods, right? 10 different things that were going on. You have creation, and then you have the patriarchs. And then from the patriarchs, you have the Exodus. And then after the Exodus, you have the wanderings. And then after the wanderings, you have the conquest. And then after the conquest, you have judges. And then after the judges, you have the kingdom. And then after the kingdom, you have the exile. And after the exile, you have the return. And after the return, you have silence for 400 years, and then Jesus comes onto the scene, and then the church happens, and then the resurrection happens, and then the ongoing outwork of the church and the spreading of the gospel happens after Jesus has lived, and the story continues to go. Some of you are like, what did you just say? You're like, oh my gosh, right? The reason I tell you that is because the Bible is an ongoing story that is happening throughout history. And guess what? The world in which the Bible was written in is very different than the world is today. Like, they didn't have iPhones, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have social media. Like, it's very different. Okay? And so you need to know, hey, when were they writing? And that can help you understand what they're saying and why they're saying it. Okay, so you ask when. Then you ask where. Where are they writing this from? Where is all of this happening? Right? Is it here in North America? No. Is it over in the Middle East? A lot of this stuff happened overseas, right, that you can still see today in the nation of Israel. And then out throughout there. So you're asking where did this happen? And finally, you're asking why. Why are they writing the things that they're writing? What are they trying to convey? And what is the purpose of it? A few other things that you can look for in observation. I'm not going to unpack all of these, but look for a few of these things, right? As you're reading, you can look for repetition. Are they repeating a word or a phrase? Because most of the time when an author is repeating something, what do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to clue you in on that so that you can know the point of what they're trying to say. You can look at a contrast, right? A great example of that is Proverbs 15:1. And it says this. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right? So through the contrast of that, you can realize, oh, so if I respond gently to things, that helps turn away wrath. But if I respond flippantly, you see the contrast of what happens. Right? Or maybe you can look at lists. Right? In Galatians 5, in that passage, Paul is listing the acts of the flesh, meaning that if you want to know things that you should avoid or sins to avoid, go and look at those lists. Observe those. See what is listed in there. It's in there for a reason and a purpose. And then you can look for conjunctions. And I'll just tell you, Romans 6:23 is a great example of why you should observe and see what conjunctions do in a passage. Because Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the biggest but in all of Scripture, right? That's a big but in Scripture. It's telling you that the wages of your sin is death. What you deserve is sin, or what you deserve is hell and judgment for your sin. But what God did was He gave you a free gift of eternal life through His death, burial, and resurrection. So that if you believe in Him, then He took your sins away so that you might have life. That conjunction is huge. Look at cause and effect. If then, if you do this, then expect this to happen. Look for comparisons. Who remembers the series that we just got done with? What was it called? The one after that. Do you remember? It was called Charting Your Course, right? Charting Your Course. What that came from was James chapter 3. The reason that we called it Charting Your Course was because James makes a comparison between the rudder of a ship, right, which is really, really small, and how that determines the entire direction of that massive ship, and how your tongue, likewise, is a small member, but it determines the course and trajectory of your life, right? You look for comparisons, and you understand what they're trying to say. Other things you look for are figures of speeches, like similes or metaphors or hyperboles. If you don't know what those are, wait for your English class or quiz your leaders. See if they're smarter than you are. But you can look for figures of speeches. So that's what you're doing in observation. You are slowing down. You're asking who, what, when, where, and why. And you're just trying to get an overall picture of what is going on here in this passage. And then from there, the second thing that you do is interpretation. In interpretation, you're answering the question, what does this mean? What does this mean? Okay, and so in interpretation, it's kind of like this. Whenever I was a kid, I got in trouble, go figure, like many of you probably have. But there was a time where this girl who lived down the street, her boyfriend drove this big red truck and he parked it out in front of their house. And so me and some of my buddies thought it'd be really funny to get shaving cream and put shaving cream like all around his truck so that he could not get in it without stepping in shaving cream. Really dumb, I know. And then we put it under the handles of his thing so he couldn't open the door without getting shaving cream on him. But here's where we really went wrong is we put shaving cream on the hood of his truck. Now, some of you are like, what's the big deal with that? Shaving cream tears up paint from a car. Big mistake. Okay. And so what happened was, that girl's mom called my mom and was like, hey, here's what your sons just did to, Jordan's boyfriend's truck. And she's like, oh boy. And so here's what Mama Alge does. Okay. My mama suddenly goes on a truth finding mission. Okay. And she does a couple things. First, she's looking for the context. All right. She's like, hey, what was going on here? Like, why did y'all do what you were doing? And that doesn't even make sense. What was happening? She's just trying to understand what was going on around this whole situation. The second thing that she does is she kind of cross-references our stories, right? She asked me what happened. Then she asked my brother what happened. And then she asked my friend what happened. Right? To try to understand, hey, where is the truth? What is really happening? And then the last thing that she does is that she calls a trustworthy source of my dad. And surely, if you know, man, my dad came, he disciplined us because that was pretty stupid of us to do that. But then she also called the mom. Why? Because she trusted her, right? To establish the truth of what had actually happened. And in a really weird way, whenever we read our Bibles, we're doing the same thing, right? You're looking for three things in interpretation. You're looking for context, understanding, hey, what was really going on around this story, right? So if you're reading, let's just say Acts 17, we'll be there in a little bit. Then what happened before Acts 17? What happens after it? You're understanding the overall context of who's writing that book, what's happening. You're getting a really good glimpse at what's going on, right? Like if any of you came and told me that, hey, dude, I totally tackled this kid at school this week. It was awesome. I'd be like, dude, what is wrong with you? Like you don't just tackle kids at school. And then you were like, what, dude? I was playing football. Like, it was football practice. I'd be like, oh, well done. Way to go. Go hit them harder next time. Right? Like, context means everything. Because if you told me you tackled the kid in the hallway, you'd be getting suspension. But if you tackled the kid playing football, then that's great and well done. Right? So context means everything. You've got to understand what the context was of what you're reading. The next thing that you're looking for in interpretation is a cross-reference. A cross-reference is, let's just say you're reading about the love of God, okay? You're like the verse that we just read, maybe Romans 6:23 or Romans 5:8 talks about the love of God. What you can do is you can go to a concordance. A concordance is in the back of your Bible, most Bibles. If it's not, you can find a friend who has this. But you can look up a word or a phrase. So you can look up love, and then it'll tell you where love is mentioned all throughout the Bible. And so that you can go to those other passages of scripture and you can see what other people are saying about love, right? You can do that with all kinds of different things. But let me tell you this, the best way to interpret scripture is by other scripture. Meaning that if you find God's word says this here and you're like, huh, I wonder what that means. Go look for other places in the Bible that it talks about that. It's a great way that you can interpret and find out what your Bible is trying to say in different passages of scripture. And then lastly, you're looking at commentaries. Commentaries are resources that have been written by trustworthy scholars to help you understand what's going on in your Bible. Okay? And so I've listed a few resources that are for free online. A great one is called soniclight.org. You can take a picture of these if you want. But you can go on there and there's commentaries. You can go to gotquestions.org. Ask Pastor John, which is John Piper, where he kind of handles different passages of scripture and different tough questions. Or our very own Real Truth Real Quick, where our senior pastor, Todd Wagner, helps answer questions that we deal with in our world or in God's word that are difficult to understand. And so there's a lot of resources that can help you understand and know what is going on in your Bible. And let me just tell you this too, before we move on. Your Bible is never meant to be read in isolation, right? Ever since the beginning of the church, what they did was the early church would gather together with all the people and they would read the word of God together from the scriptures, and they would help each other understand what it meant, how it applied to their life, and then what they were going to do as a result of it. That's what the early church did. They came together, they ate together, they read scripture together, they prayed together, right? That's why we have small groups. If you are reading a passage of scripture and you're like, gosh, what does this even mean? I'd encourage you, go ask your small group leader. Let them help you understand what God's word is trying to say. Don't ever just try to wrestle through it yourself, because you don't want to wrongly interpret scripture that it's not saying what you really think it says. All right, so go and seek context, cross-references, and commentaries that'll help you find out what a passage really means. And then lastly is application. So after you have observed the text, after you've interpreted the text, now you're applying the text. Application is answering the question, what difference does this make? Or what does this mean in my life? You're trying to understand how is this relevant to me today? Okay? And so application, you're looking for an overall truth and how it applies to you. And so watch this video real quick, and this will kind of drive where we're going. Incredible. Hey, how many of you knew you could do that with those ketchup things? How many of you, that's new information, and you're like, I can't wait to go to In-N-Out and get those things and spread them apart, right? Hey, listen, that's for free to you today. That's for free, so take that for what it is. But here's the thing, right? So many of you have never observed how those things could happen. You've never known how those things are actually meant to function. But once you know those two things, the application of it becomes incredible. You're like, dude, I can get 2 times as much ketchup in this thing. Let's go, baby, right? Give me a double size fry next time, right? It's amazing. And so, but here's the thing. Is that whenever we come to God's word, after we observe it and interpret it, application becomes transformative in our life. Like once you actually know what God's word is saying and what that means for your life too, the application of it has the ground in which it can really be applicable to you and helpful to you, right? And so here's what you need to do whenever you're applying God's word. You need to make sure that God's word is two things, okay? You need to make sure that the application is relevant, and you need to make sure that the application, most importantly, is accurate. And so what I mean by that, right? A lot of people, whenever they read God's word, they just flip to a page and they immediately ask this question. They immediately ask, what does this mean to me? And let me just tell you, that is a terrible question to ask whenever you're reading God's word. The first thing that you need to ask is not, what does this mean to me? But you need to ask, what is this teaching me about God so that I can faithfully respond to his word and live according to that? Right? You're not asking what this means to you. You're asking and you're observing it. Then you're asking, hey, what did that mean then? And what does that mean for me now? And then from that, you're applying it to your life, right? You don't immediately jump to application. You've got to observe it. Then you've got to understand what it means before you actually apply it to your life so that you know that what you're applying is relevant and accurate. Okay. And so here's what we're going to do with the last couple minutes, okay? I'm going to read just a quick passage of scripture, and then I'm going to show you a few of the observations, interpretations, and applications that I just drew from this passage, okay? And then y'all will do this more over the coming weeks. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts 17. I'm going to read with you a few verses there, all right? So this is Acts 17, verses 1 through 9. It'll be up on the screen too. This is what it says. Now, when they had passed through Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some of the wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And so a few observations from this text. Okay, that is like five or six verses, but there's a few observations that I made as we were reading. Notice I asked myself, hey, who is writing this? The author of Acts is Luke. Luke is the person who's writing this letter. And then what is he doing in this passage? He's showing the beginning movements of the church after Christ has left the earth. Okay, so he's talking about how Paul, who's on missionary journeys, is spreading the gospel throughout the earth. That's what he's doing. And then notice also what Paul did. Paul went and reasoned with the Jews from the scriptures. What Paul did was he just read the scriptures to prove to them that this was, in fact, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was the Son of God, who came to rescue them from their sins. That's what he did. But he did all of that from reading scripture to them. The next thing that happened was that some people received the message Paul preached, while others outright rebelled against him. Right? All of those things are just observations. Asking who, what, when, where, and why. Those are a few of the observations we can make from seven verses. Okay? And then in interpretation, some of the context. What is going on around this? This is Paul's second missionary journey as he's sharing the gospel with the nations around him. He was just imprisoned in Philippi. God miraculously delivered them from the prison so that a man could receive the gospel. And now he's moving on to a new place called Thessalonica. Does that sound familiar to any of you, Thessalonica? Have any of you ever heard of 1st or 2nd Thessalonians? Right? Those are two books in your Bible. Well, guess where Paul is? He's with the people that he wrote that letter to here in Acts 17. And so later, whenever he writes those letters, he's writing to these people. And then a few of the cross references, right? A couple of things that we've seen is that Paul and these others are being persecuted by these Jews. Well, if you cross-reference that idea of persecution and the rebellion and stuff, you understand what Paul would have known was Jesus' words in Matthew 5:11 that Jesus said, hey, blessed are you when you are persecuted and had all kinds of false things said about you because of me. Right? So Paul would have been like, hey, I'm experiencing persecution, but Jesus would say, I'm blessed because of that. John 16:33 says largely the same thing. It says, Jesus says, in this world, you are going to have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so does Paul give up? Absolutely not. He knows that persecution is coming as he preaches the message of the gospel. And then lastly, a passage in Matthew 13 verses, in Matthew chapter 13, 13 through 15. What Jesus says is that he would teach in parables because some of the Jews would not understand what he was trying to preach, right? Which what is now going on with Paul? The Jews are the ones who reject the message that he's trying to preach and rebel against him, right? But what's crazy is that that is also prophesied about in Isaiah, which Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet. So this was long, long time ago that Jesus quoted Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10 in Matthew 13. And so there's all kinds of cross-references that are talking about these passages as they interweave together. Some of you might be like, what in the world? Like, that is crazy. And that's okay. I'm not trying to like teach you all of this stuff in one setting. I'm just trying to show you that your Bible is all one story and it all fits together. Okay? So that's kind of the interpretation process. And then from there, you can move to application. So a couple things that we can apply from this passage is that we know that God's word is sufficient to defend our faith. Right? Paul, all that he did was from the scriptures, reasoned with the Jews. The next thing we know is that not all will receive the message which we preach. So if you're sharing the gospel with some of your friends and they're like, nah, dude, whatever, I don't want it. That's okay, right? You don't need to feel this burden of like, hey, I'm going to shove the gospel down their throat. Not all people are going to receive the message. Our job is to faithfully plant seeds and to water them, but it's only God who can make them grow. Paul knew that, Jesus knew that, and even the Old Testament prophets knew that, right? So we can be confident that it's okay. But we want to faithfully speak truth, and when we do, we need to be prepared to be met with opposition, right? This world is filled with a ton of lies. And if you speak truth from God's word, let me tell you something. You are probably going to be opposed, right? Because of it. And you need to be prepared to be met with opposition and to be ready to stand on truth that you know is truth. And the way that you know it's truth is by the way that you observe it, you interpret it, and you apply it to your life, right? You get to know the scriptures, okay? And so remember, as you're reading God's word, and the way in which you can open God's word and not just point to a random verse is you can go to a passage of scripture and through observation, interpretation and application, you can figure out what it truly is saying, what it means, and how it applies to your life. And so in closing, I want you to know this, is that your Bible is one of God's greatest gifts to you. Like, you need to know that this book, written over 2,000 years ago, has been preserved in a way that no other historical book has, so that God could reveal himself to you. This book was written by over 40 different authors. It consists of 66 different books written over a span of 1,500 plus years on three different continents in three different languages, all with one story about how there was a God in heaven that knew, in spite of the rebellion of sinful people, he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to pay a price that you and I never could so that we could experience eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what this book is all about. And it changes your life. It changes everything. And guys, that's the story that God wants to show you. And God wants to reveal to you. He wants you to know him so that you can make him known. This isn't a chore. It's not a task list. This is a book from the living God that wants to teach you what he's like and how much he loves you and has pursued you. That you would respond in turn. You walk obediently with him. So let me pray that we would. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for the truth of your word that has been preserved in a way that no other book has, so that we can be confident that it is your word, that it is true. God, that you would preserve it for us to teach us who you are and how we can walk with you. And so God, I pray that, Lord, as all of us here in this room approach your scriptures, we wouldn't just have to point to a random verse and hope it applies, but through observation and interpretation and application, we can truly understand what your word is saying and what that means for us so that we can walk faithfully with you. So God, I pray that we would this week. Would you help us do that? We can do nothing apart from you. And so Jesus, we need you. Lord, we thank you for this time and pray that it honor you. And we pray that we'd honor you with our life as we go from here. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.